Glad to be back with you tonight, and we knew that we were going to have several gone tonight because of the ladies thing and that, but we're glad that you're here tonight, and we're excited, and this is kind of a prelude to Sunday morning in something that God has given me, and that is a message that God has deeply given to me, and it's kind of interesting because I've been working on three titles for my message. And so my three titles have been The All-Sufficient One. That's pretty good.
Amen.
Amen. More Than Conquerors. That's pretty good. And then my favorite is Stuck in Lodibar Again. So I think I'm going with the third one. Amen. So any Fogarty fans that we have here can relate to it tonight. So, but it is something that God has given me in this sense. And I know that we talk a lot about grace, and we minister a lot about grace. And somebody would probably say, well, Pastor, why do we talk so much about grace? And the reason why that we talk so much about grace is because of a simple reason. Thank you, my brother. Isn't it nice what they made for me? Oh, that is perfect, brother. You and Sam get some brownie points. Amen? So, of course, I don't know who did the most, but heaven will separate it on that great judgment day. Amen? So anyways, as we're talking about grace, and somebody said, well, you know, why do we preach and teach so much on grace? And the reason why is because that grace is that factor in our life that we cannot live without. And grace is what it's all about. A couple of things is this, and in John chapter 3, all my notes are gone out of my computer and I can't pull up anything, but it's cool. If I can find it in John 3. Give me just a second. So anyways, in the scripture that that I was trying to go to, and it may be 1 John chapter 3. But anyways, in this sense of what he is talking about is the difference between love and mercy and grace. And somebody would say, you know, in that context, what is the difference between love, mercy, and grace? And the difference is this, is that the love of God, no one, and I'm going to say something to you, so kind of hold on to your horses a little bit, because no one has been saved through love. Okay? The Bible doesn't say, for God so loved the world that he saved the world. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, love, and this is where a lot of people get into problems, because we think if we love hard enough and long enough that we will change people. But the truth of it is that it's not love that changes them. You say, well, Pastor, the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. Well, it does cover a multitude of sins, but as I meditate on that scripture, I realize more and more that when he's talking about love covers a multitude of sins, he's talking about those sins that have been possibly committed towards me. Or in the sense that those things that have happened to me, love covers those sins. But my love cannot cover the sins in other people. How many hears what I'm saying? The only thing that can cover the sins in their life is forgiveness and the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's not what we're talking about here. So the love of God never saved anybody, but because of the love of God, because herein is that great love, then God was able then to look towards man in mercy and in grace. How many hears what I'm saying to you? So in that sense, we realize that the love of God is necessary because that's the attribute of God. God is love. Amen? And so God is love, and because God is love, because of that, His mercy and His grace has been extended to man. Because the Bible says, if you'll turn there with me tonight, turn there with me to the book of Galatians, I believe. Ephesians chapter 2. And look there with me, and look what he says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. And I'm going to give you several things on grace tonight because I'm kind of prepping you. It's a precursor to this coming Sunday in Stuck in Lodibar again. And some of you might be curious enough to find out where that's at. And so here in Ephesians chapter, everybody say bye.
Bye.
Amen. So, for by grace are you saved through faith. See, you can't have grace without faith. Work hand in hand. If you have faith, you have grace. If grace is working in your life, it's God's extension towards you. But that grace is not possible without His love towards us. So, the point of it here, again, is this, is how important is grace? Well, it tells us here, which becomes the issue in Galatians chapter 2, because we're working towards something. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 18, he says, for if I build again, so how do we make ourselves a transgressor? How do we make ourselves a transgressor? The things which have been destroyed, which I destroyed. What are the things that have been destroyed in your life? He's talking of the chaste life. The sins that are there, those things have been destroyed. Your flesh has been destroyed. So he says, the law, for through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Grace liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, the life which I'm now living is our flesh. Our problem is our unregenerated flesh. He said, I live by the faith of the Son. He doesn't stop there. He says in verse 21, he said, I do not frustrate. Now look at this. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Does that mean that God, you know, picks up, you know, the great pearly gates? You know, he picks up, you know, something and throws it against because he's frustrated. Frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead. We're moving out of the acceptance of love, that God loves us unconditionally. Well, how is God? See, the thing of it is that what we are struggling with, and we declare, I am saved by grace, amen, through faith. Amen. Some of you looked a little unsure there. I haven't been gone that long. But not of myself, lest any man should boast that it's not by works that this happens. So what attribute through his nature, love, he has provided grace and mercy towards me. Because the back door of heaven. You know, some of you are like, I don't. You know, I mean, how righteous. You know, you got one group of people, man, that, you know, have to get into heaven because of our works. If we're going to get there because of our good, there because of the grace and the mercy of God, because God is love. God's not letting us in. Realize is that the holiness of God has been satisfied. And because we don't have to work to try to please God. See, I wrote a couple things down. So here is where most people are. Most people are. Instead, listen now, well, sure there is. Because one tells us that we're trying to work our way into, right? So we're doing things to try to work our way into grace. That is why our lives are so ruled by us. Is that if God has loved us with such a great love, if God has is to rule through works, we want to rule a church through work, do. Well, we know that's not true. Because you know as well as I have, you've come to church and you've had amen while I was preaching. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. So you can't go based upon that, everything. But see, God's love is unconditional. That's hard for us to wrap that around. That God loves me unconditionally. Amen? God loves me without conditions. Don't make me mad. Now, what we're really saying is, I don't love you as much as I did. It doesn't punch people in the nose. Love doesn't betray. Love doesn't lie. Amen. Look at here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because I'm laying some things out, and then, oh, you guys are crazy. Look, I'm going to go into the very first three verses, because if we do, man, it says, charity suffereth long. Now, look what, I want you to see something here, and see how many catch this. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Now, why did God, but what charity is the action of love. It's love in action. This is love demonstrated. Amen. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. Charity rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all. Charity never fails. Amen. But whether there be, and charity cannot fail. Now, look, we're not talking about just actions. We're talking about these things. So here he's talking about that the love that is here is the love of God's self-centered actions on the part of the believer. There is no walks in love here is there. Do you know the thing of it is? And how do we know this? Because God, before one person said, I repent, I accept this great sacrifice, this great sacrifice that God made, for God so loved the world that he gave. It didn't mean if the world didn't accept it, he was going to take back his gift. That's not what it said. Commitment all the way to give his son and to let him take us to the nth degree. It takes us to the end. That's what love does. Love is unselfish. That's what 13 here is all about. It's about unselfish love. So this love that God has, this great love that God has, out of it is birth, his mercy. He couldn't save man just because he loved him. See, because then that dismantles the theory that everybody is God's children. No. Amen? How do we know that, Pastor? Well, because they don't act like God's children. Amen? See, it doesn't matter. You are the children of God. You are my brothers and sisters. So therefore, I know that you are, because how do I know? Well, because a man who has faith in God is going to produce the works of God's nature. I ain't getting no amens in here tonight. True. And so that is going to be produced out of people's lives. You say, well, Pastor, why is this so important? Because the thing of it is that to understand the magnitude of God's love, then we can understand the magnitude of God's mercy and his grace in our life. We can understand the nature of God, that God is not looking for a return. That God, the grace of God, is always extending itself out. Not just to those that are in Nigeria, or to those that are in Central America, or to those in a foreign land, but the love of God extends. It extends right here, face to face. Husband and wife, sister to sister, brother to brother. Are you hearing me? Mother to daughter, son to father. The love of God does not pull back and say, well, I can understand. Well, if you knew you'd understand why it's so hard to love them. It's not hard to love with the love of God. It's hard to love with my love, because my love is conditional. And because you have betrayed me, you have let me down. You have told your little white lies to me. Amen. And because of that, I have kept my little tally book. Amen. And I don't talk about it for 20 years. But by golly, at that family reunion, amen, all of a sudden, I hate your potato salad, but I've ate it for 20 years. But at the family reunion, that potato salad sucks. And you know what? I hate you. Really? But God bless you. I'll see you in church Sunday. You understand what I'm saying? See, our love is conditional. And so therefore, it's based upon negatives and pluses. But see, God doesn't think that way. See, God doesn't think that way. See, we judge God. I love what it said there in the book of Numbers today in the devotion. God is not a... Anybody remember? God is not a man. Say, woohoo. Oh, man, well, you need to shout. I'm glad God is not a man. He is not the son of man that he can lie. I have the potential to lie. I have the potential to fail. I have the potential to let you down. But love never fails. He's not talking about some mystical, unrelatable thing that you can't pin yourself on. He is saying that if you love with the love of God and do it God's way, it will never fail. That love will never fail. But if your investment is invested in the fact of conditions, then you're always going to judge. And so therefore, you always feel like you're trying to make up the difference to God. You were just that close. Maybe you can associate that you always feel like God is looking at you with that side glance. Amen? How many knows what I'm talking about? Not that full on like, hey baby, how you doing? But always looking. So therefore, if that becomes our mentality, if that becomes that which we live by, then we are always falling short. We're always coming up just that close to really thinking, what does it take to please God? Because that's the question, man. What's it going to take to make God happy? Nothing you can give Him. Because there's nothing that you have that can make God happy. See, God provided everything for you. That's why you're His workmanship. That's why you're not God's little elf. His little special elf working on His little workmanship so that He can be the kind of Christian that I need to be. So I'm thinking all the time, trying to be, you know, good enough. Did it get quiet in here? Is it just me? Pastor stay away too long? Why is that, guys? Thank you. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So because of that, we always feel like we can never measure up. Either, and we know this, that sometimes it's not as strong as others. But when the revelation comes that, look, I am not that person. That I have been redeemed. See, holiness has been satisfied in God. This is my whole contention about all of this. Whatever is going to happen in the end times, I'm not quite sure how that's all going to fit. I have been in discussions and looking at things concerning eschatology. And it's fun. We just came out of the book of Revelations. It's a great, fascinating, interesting, colorful book. But I am saying to you is that what I'm more concerned about, it's not about how the beast look or how many horns it has, or you know, how many kingdoms it is. Is he talking about Israel? Is he talking about the church? Is he talking about you? Is he talking about me? It doesn't matter. What is important, though, and what is vital is, am I who God says I am? And if I am who God says I am, then I should be living out my life abundantly no matter what's going on in my life. I should say to myself, what part of my life am I trying to work out through works towards God? And that what is the part of my life that I'm always struggling with, I'm always dealing with, I'm always coming back to, I keep stumbling over it, I keep tripping over it in the dark. Because you trip over things that are in the dark. And the things you trip over in the dark are those things that are hidden in our lives, or we have hidden. Have you ever hidden something for safekeeping, or you wanted to hide something and then you couldn't find it? That's how the issues of our life are. Amen? That's how the issues of our life are. They're in that context. See, grace is God's favor. It is unearned. It's undeserved. And it's unrepayable. So God's grace is unearned, undeserved, and unpayable. You can't pay it back. You can't deserve it. You can't earn it. And the moment that you walk in that revelation, your whole life is going to change. Your whole life is going to change towards people. It's going to change towards your relationship. It's going to change towards God. You're not going to look at God that God is always trying to extract something from you. The truth of the matter is, God keeps trying to give us something. No, I'm not worthy. No, don't give it to me. I'll make a mess. But you know how that is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the safe life. Amen? I'm going to park myself in my parking space. Amen? How many has a parking space? Amen. Sure. Everybody has a parking space in church. It's my parking space. There's lines. See? There's lines here. Amen? That's all I know. Because if it wasn't a parking space, it'd be a field. Or it'd be a storage. Or a barn. But it's a parking space. How do I know? Well, because I've got lines. And my car, my vehicle, fits just in the borders of those lines. And I can sit here and I can watch all the other cars in the parking lot. Amen? And they're all different colors, and some of them do different things. There's tow trucks, and there's all kinds of hot rods, and there's all kinds of different colors of cars. But you know what? I like my parking. These are my lines. And just to let you know, these are my lines. Don't come over into my space. So God lets us park there. God lets us sit there. Amen? Amen? And we can sit there for years. Amen? Get a nice cover. Never move. Never spend any gas. Never have to worry about accidents. Never worry about going out into the world. Never worry about traffic. Never worry about repairs. Because if I let my car sit here, I never have to worry of it breaking down. So it's safe here. If I stay here in my lines, and as long as you stay there and you stay there, knowing these are what my lines are, I'm safer here in my parking space. But the problem is that if God called you and He gave you a vehicle, He meant for you to be something. Amen? Because God didn't make you a tree. God didn't make you a fish. God didn't make you anything else but who you are, and you are uniquely and beautifully made, and God has made you for a specific purpose, and He has poured Himself into you so that you in return can reproduce yourself in others. But as long as the enemy can keep you wounded and crippled, as long as he can keep you working to labor out of your crippleness, out of your handicap, as long as he can keep you contained, as long as he can keep your efforts small and insignificant, as long as he can keep you... Well, you know, the thing of this, Pastor, is that those are the things. What happens is you can get hurt and disappointed. And well, geez, you can get disappointed by going to the store and seeing the new prices they have. I got offended at coming down and seeing the new... I thought, geez, how long have I been in the house? Gas prices have went up. And my car is on empty. I haven't driven my car. How does my car get on empty? Anyways. How many hears what I'm saying to you? So God has poured His great love in us. And He's poured that love in us for a reason and for a purpose. And so what we do is, the main thing is this, is that God's grace is to flow out of that life of love. Amen? See, I believe that grace is a dirty word to the devil. Amen? Because he knows that what happens is that when you are become someone who is convinced that God loves you unconditionally, then you now have and been empowered. It's like being given authority. See, grace is not some mystical thing. I even wrote that someplace. I don't know where I wrote it. I wrote it someplace. I wrote that grace is not mystical. Amen? Amen. Hold on. Jesus. Somebody write my notes for me. But grace is not mystical. Grace is not something that's not definable. Grace is very definable. In fact, grace is very tangible. And grace is tangible because it is the outcome and the outflow of love, the love of God in my life. And when I realize that revelation, grace begins to operate in my life, because once you know that you are loved unconditionally, you can be free to love other people. And know what? And you can let people love you.
Right, exactly.
Not just like you. Because love means more than just liking. It means involvement. It means participation in a community of believers. See, that's the difference. Some people live in the context. Some people live in the context of living in a community uninvolved. But I believe, and it's something that we are preaching more and more, that we believe that God wants to create a community of believers. Not just a bunch of people. I'm not a rancher. I'm a shepherd. I am a shepherd. This is a flock. This is not a ranch. This is not where, you know, wild stallions and wild asses run all over the property without any kind of rein, without any kind of controls, without any kind of productivity. Because on a ranch, you just have cattle and horses that run and graze freely. We're not a ranch. We are a flock. We are the flock of His great pasture. I'm not a rancher to where that I gather my herds in once a year to take them to the stockyard to sell and to gather and to enrich myself. A shepherd is involved and invested in his sheep. He touches them. He takes and the smell of the sheep are upon him. He knows. He stands over the flock to see. He knows who's sick. He knows who's hurting. He knows who's infected. Are you listening to me? And so this is not a ranch. It is a flock. And that is a mentality. And hear me now. That in this culture here, as much as this is the Bible Belt, this is not a people who are flocks. They are ranches and ranchers. Are you hearing me? And that is a strange concept, pastor. Not somebody who is hired to preach and to visit you when you're sick. That's not a pastor. A pastor is invested in your life, invested in your growth, invested in your children. He is a man who dedicates your babies, buries your old. Not only is he visiting the sick, but he's raising you and bringing healing to your life. A fivefold pastor is that man who oversees the flock and makes sure that they're moving in growth and that they are fed. A rancher doesn't know who's being fed. He's just glad they're out wandering, eating grass or whatever. Have you ever seen wild horses? Oh, I know on television they look beautiful as they're flying and you're seeing their manes and their tails flowing. But have you ever seen a wild horse? Their teeth are all crooked and nasty. Their hooves are outgrown and split because they have never been taken care of. They die earlier than the horses that have been brought in, who have been reined in, who have been taught to be productive and to serve a purpose. I know that some people become offended at the fact of being associated with animals, but it is the best way to do it. That stallion is beautiful and say, oh, he's free, he's free. Thank God Almighty, he's free. But the truth of the matter is that what is he doing? He is living unto himself. That's not what God's called us to do. Amen. Grace is a dirty word to the devil. He knows what happens when you begin to walk in grace. Amen. Grace is the power behind salvation. It's not a creed. It's not a religion. It's not a philosophy. That's not what grace is. Grace is not shaking the hand of a preacher. Grace is the empowerment of God for you to be who God's called you to be. To not only to yourself, not only to your family, but unto the greater body of Christ. God has given you grace. But until you know that you're loved unconditionally and that you're free to love yourself and to love others, join the club. How do you love? How do you carry a cross and not get... You're going to carry the cross, but you're going to carry it through Gethsemane first. How many hears it? Grace is the wonder of salvation. It's in me. See, grace is the power by which God brings us chance. Holiness was unfulfilled. But when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, and he tucked the blood that was from him into heaven, and he placed that blood upon the... was paid 100%. All the holiness of God was satisfied ever. And whoever will accept this blood, I am satisfied because I'm satisfied with the blood. And as long as the blood covers me, when I stand before, when I look in the mirror and I go, oh my God. Or that when I say stupid stuff out of my mouth and I do stupid things, I can say something stupid and I can go before the throne of God. The throne of grace boldly. Why? Because I know I am covered in the blood. And God doesn't see my hot mess. He sees the blood. He sees the blood. Oh, hallelujah, Pastor. I can live any way I want to because the more grace, the more I can sin. Don't be ignorant. That's not what it's talking about. Grace doesn't give me more of an ability to sin more. It gives me the ability that sin has no longer any hold over my life and over me as a person. Why am I depressed? Why am I sorrowful? Why am I downcast? Why am I hurting? Why am I living this life of disappointment when that is not what God has called me to? He has called me. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and that life more abundantly. And I can live that life because I have the grace of God, God's favor, God's empowerment in my life. But that grace is produced because I understand that because of God's great love, He has given me mercy. Are you hearing me? God has been merciful towards me. Amen? Grace is the power by which God brings us back into right standing. We must start with grace, but then we must stop living by the thing that stopped us and begin to walk in condemnation. Because the moment you find yourself in condemnation, the moment you find yourself saying you're not measuring up, the moment that you say that I'm not good enough, the moment that you say, how can God love me? You have now left grace, and now you're walking in condemnation. Now you're frustrating the grace of God in your life. Because grace wants you to know you've been forgiven and loved. But the moment you enter into works, the moment you live in your flesh, you are frustrating the grace of God to operate in your life freely and openly. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to you? How many are glad for grace tonight? Amen? You see, I have any closing thoughts here. I wrote, I'm not on a journey to find grace. I'm not looking for grace. I'm not looking for love in all the wrong places. Amen? I'm not on a journey to find grace. Why is that, Pastor? Well, because why are you going someplace to find something that you already have? Well, if I could just feel grace. That's the problem. We're waiting for a feeling instead of accepting. Accepting that which belongs to us. You want to know why we struggle with it? It's because years of mindset. Years of mindset. Why? Because, and the truth of the matter is, our parents contributed heavily to it, and the churches that we belong to contributed heavily to it, in the fact that it was all about works, 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 works. I mean, it produced great. Some of you are the most faithful people. And thank God. And I thank God for the revelation of grace that you are coming into and have come into in your life. But you know as well as I do, it was about works. Come on, it has to be about works. If people, you know, wear pins, haven't missed a Sunday in 97 years, you know. I mean, come on. That's a great thing to celebrate, but that's not going to get you into heaven. I'm not getting into heaven because I'm the pastor. I'm not getting into heaven because I'm better looking than most of you. I just woke a few of you up. I'm not going to heaven because I pray more. I'm going to heaven because He has satisfied holiness, the holiness of God. Through what? Through the blood. His great love through His great love and His love produced mercy and grace. And out of that, I now have fellowship with God. Because without that, we had no fellowship. We had to depend on somebody taking an offering and offering a blood sacrifice. That's all we had. But because of that great love, we now know we are loved. I've been saved by grace, and I'm living in it now. If I'm attempting to manipulate or manufacture grace, I wrote this today as a post. If I'm attempting to manufacture grace, it's no longer grace. Amen? It's no longer grace. Amen. Man, that was a good message. I got to tell myself, man, I'm in grace, okay? How many hears what I'm saying to you tonight? Did you get something out of that? I just wanted to give you a little bit of a word tonight on grace. And this week I am going to be ministering on something that I don't know that I've ever ministered on before. I've never ministered on this person before. And I don't think I've ever ministered out of this scripture before. But I'm ministering on stuck in Lodibar again. Amen? So that's what I'm preaching on this weekend. So I'm excited for what God is doing and what God's doing in the house. I'm excited for what God is doing by His grace and by His power. Amen. And so let's pray and let's believe God that God is doing something in our lives. Amen. And in others' lives. And remember, you can't save anybody. You can love everybody, but it's going to take the grace of God for them to be saved. And no matter how much you love people, no matter how much you sacrifice for them, and we should demonstrate the love of God. But if you're expecting results, if you're expecting, amen, a thank you. do you hear what I'm saying to you? Yeah. See, you can't live like that. See, our problem is we live in too much disappointment because our expectation. Well, Pastor, then how can we live in faith? Don't believe in somebody's flesh. Don't believe in their flesh to gratify your sacrifices. But if you love unconditionally, amen, you leave the gift and then you leave. Leave the gift and then walk away. Amen. I have to tell you something. I don't know if you guys have experienced this since I've been in Wilkesboro. This is crazy, okay? Since I've been in Wilkesboro, not one time has our mail person brought the mail to us and then sat there and waited for us to open the mail in front of them. I know it's crazy. And I don't know if it's just Wilkesboro or is this all around the world. Is that the way it is? Why is that? Because he's the mailman. The mail's not to him. The mail is to you and to me. He delivers the mail. Quit trying to be something you're not called to be. Quit trying to be something you're not called to be to each other and to other people. Be who God's called you to be, and you will be happy, and you will be satisfied, and you will be filled with love, and you'll be less disappointed and dejected and rejected in your life if you'll be what God's called you to be. Deliver the message of love. Deliver the message of mercy. Deliver the message of grace. Deliver and say to yourself, I am free. I owe no man anything but to love him. Makes sense now, doesn't it? Quit being something you're not called to be. Amen? Amen. Oh, I tell you, I was terrible. Pastor Karen, I'll tell you, I was the worst. I mean, I would go to so many extremes, and I would chase after people, drag them out of bars. I mean, physically drag them out of bars. She'll tell you, I was radical. Drag them out. I'd chase them in bars, drag them out. I'd go to people's home, drag them out of their beds. You're not going to sin. I'm not going to let you sin. I'm not going to let you fail. Guess what? They still failed. And I became weary in well-doing. You want to not be weary in well-doing? Then quit being something you're not. Quit trying to make that person happy. Quit trying to please that. Quit trying to please God. God's already pleased with you. God is already happy with you. God already loves you. God already unconditionally, man, sees you. Oh, I know it's difficult. You're like, yeah, Pastor, I hear it. But, you know, I can't wrap my mind around it. Want to know why you can't? Because you haven't let the love of God saturate. Guys, look, the reason why we don't love is because we don't want to be hurt. We don't even realize. We've got so many defensive walls. We got so many things surrounding us. Amen? We got so many things protecting us so that we don't get hurt. Amen? Be free. Be free. Father, I thank you for the word tonight. And I thank you for your unfiltered word tonight into the lives of those that have joined us here. I thank you, Father, that you've given me such a great privilege to minister and teach them tonight. I thank you. I thank you that I've been able to serve some manna. I've been able to feed, been able to help nourish. I thank you that you've called me to be a part of their lives that are sitting here. Some of the greatest people on the planet Earth. I thank you, Father, that you've called me to pastor and Karen to pastor them and to love them. But, Father, I never came here expecting to be loved. I was already loved. But, Father, because of that, Father, I never become weary. I never want to give up. I never want to stop. And I never question why you brought me here. I know why. And I thank you for that. And I praise you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.